Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23 this evening. Proverbs chapter 23. Looking at verses 22 through 26 tonight. And tonight, of course, remember those that are not feeling well. I know this is the time of year we kind of go through cycles with the flu and different things like that. And just don't give it to me. Amen. So I haven't gotten it yet. I had the doctor's appointment a couple weeks ago, and he told me, so it's time for your seasonal flu shot. And I said, well, I don't think I'm interested in that. And, of course, you know what they try and do? They try and scare you into taking it and everything. I was like, well, sir, I've only had the flu, that's the new name of it. No, the flu twice in my life, and you know, the last time I got the flu was actually the year I took the flu shot. So I'm good. You know, and they say, well, it doesn't give you the flu. Right. But to some people it does, and I think I was one of those people. But Proverbs 23 tonight and verses 22 through 26. And tonight, one of the messages that the Lord burned my heart with, and I was just praying about it, and was just, the Lord wasn't leading, really. I think it probably was. I wasn't listening. That's usually how it goes. And the Lord gave me the message here tonight. And I'm just telling you something tonight. I'm going to give you a warning right up front. You're either for or against this message tonight. Amen. That's really where we stand on this. And that's actually really where we stand with the Word of God. Anytime it's preached, either we accept it and we believe it and we live by it. Or if we don't do it, it means we're against it. Amen. We're either on God's side or not. Amen. I think we need to stop kind of trying to figure out which side we're on and figure it out. But that's not the message tonight. But tonight, Proverbs 23, verses 22 to 26. And just like the devil, it's just like him to try and capture our attention, to capture our listening and our hearing. And it's just like the devil, just like he got the ear of Eve in the garden, the devil still wants us to listen to him today. And remember, the devil is the father of lies, and all he does is spread untruth. He spreads lies, spreads all of these things, and he tries to speak to us everywhere, even from places that we would not expect. And there is a test that we'll all need to take tonight. You know, how many like school? No, okay. Some people like school. Okay, some people like school. That's great. Maybe you like tests. I was never one. I was kind of neutral on tests. I wasn't for them. I wasn't against them. You know, I know I had to take them, but I don't think if I was going to line up, I don't think I was going to be the first one in line to take a test, you know. But we're having going to have to take a test tonight. We're going to have to ask some hard questions, some tough questions that we need to ask ourselves tonight in a message entitled, Who Has Your Ear? Who has your ear? Who are you listening to? Who is speaking in your ear? Does God have your ear, or does the devil? Who has your ear? So this message is for everyone, especially young people. I want you to pay real close attention tonight. Pay real close attention. Who has your ear? Adults, parents, everyone, pay close attention. Who has your ear? Who are you listening to tonight? Well, I was listening to some wonderful Christmas music on the way into church, Pastor. That's not what I'm talking about. Who are you listening to? Who is speaking in your ear? Who is influencing you right now in your life? Who has your ear? If we could all stand out of respect for the ring of the Word of God, Proverbs 23, verses 22 through 26 tonight. Ezra says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." Verse 26, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." Let's take a few moments and ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight we would ask some hard questions about who we're listening to, about who is speaking to our heart, and Lord, who has our heart. I pray that tonight we would be asking these questions as young people, adults, young and old. It doesn't matter, dear Lord. We all can be led astray. We can all listen to the lies of the devil, the whisperings. We all can. And I pray that tonight that you, dear Lord, would speak to us and that we would hear your voice, that we would hear the voice of the good shepherd, for you are the great and wonderful shepherd, and the devil is a liar and a thief. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would bless us tonight and that you would guide us in the way, that, dear Lord, you give me the right words to say tonight to hide me behind the cross. And, Lord, I am not above this message. No one is. No one is above your word. I pray, dear Lord, tonight that you would give me wisdom to speak, to give me a heart of love to preach it. For, Lord, this message is out of great concern in my heart for many people. I pray, dear Lord, that that would show in the message this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Who has your ear? Now, we just mentioned back in the Garden of Eden, and we know what the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 2 and chapter number 3. We see the fall of man, and then we see the results of sin. But we know that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And we can see that he goes to Eve and begins to speak to her. Now, there's something very important here, and this has always been a question in my mind. Why was Eve talking to a snake? Why was Eve talking to a snake? I don't know if it was a normal thing for snakes to talk. We don't know. A lot of people have hypothesized about that. But at the end of the day, it didn't turn out well for Eve to sit and listen to a snake, did it? At the end of the day, I want to ask you a question. Who has your ear? And if the devil has your ear, then we talk with a snake every single day. And we have, and the snake can take many forms. It can take the form of people in our life. It can take the form of books that we read. It can take the form of social media posts that we follow. It can take so many different forms. The devil can make himself and even appear as an angel of light, appear to be the very Son of God, tries to pass himself off as such. And every time he comes to people, he has a subtleness about him. Now, number one, I'm going to ask you some questions tonight. Three questions is the 3 points of the message. Who has your ear about God? What do you mean, Pastor? Well, where do you get your understanding of God from? Now, the devil loves to lie to us about God. Did you know that? Oh, he loves to lie to us about God. Oh, he lied to Eve about who God was, what he said, and what he meant. And that God was holding out. You know, we always think that he's trying to destroy our belief that God exists. You know, we were talking about this in Sunday school about our culture and about the atheism that is there, denying the existence of God. We're ready for those attacks right there because they're just directly, a direct affront. We're ready for those things. I mean, we have the dukes up. We're ready to go. We're ready to fight. We're on guard for that kind of attack. But guess what? The devil's not going to attack you that way. He knows you won't accept that. He knows that you will not accept a full-out attack that God does not exist. He knows that. He just wants to keep other people's in deception. But He knows you're not going to believe that. Trust me, the devil can outsmart you. I promise you that. He can outsmart you. And what he does instead, he begins a more subtle approach. The direct attack is too obvious for him. And sometimes he does try to do that, but he does it also in a very subtle way. He would rather us believe God to be something other than he is. Let me say that again. Listen very carefully. He would rather us to believe for God to be someone other, something other than he is. Let me explain what I mean. Turn to a passage with me, if you will, in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 59 and verse number 14. Isaiah 59 and verse number 14. We're going to come back to Proverbs 23 in just a few minutes. But Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 14 is a very important verse because this was a time in Israel when things were going wrong. That things were just a complete and total mess. People were worshiping idols. People had turned away from God. And Isaiah was called of God. But also Isaiah was also told that no one was going to listen to his preaching. How would you like that, to be called a preacher and told you're never going to get a convert? You're never going to have anybody ever listen to you, but you just keep preaching. How would you like that? That's what happened with Isaiah. But Isaiah 59 in verse number 14 tells us this. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, and there was no judgment. We looked at these verses several weeks ago, but right here, that is exactly what the devil wishes for God's children. He wishes for them to believe something that is false to be the truth. And he wants the truth to be made to be fallen down in the street. What does that mean? That truth is not wanted by those, that group of people, because they have believed in another truth. We call it false doctrine, call it whatever you want. But what it is presenting God to be someone or something else other than he is. And the devil loves to lie about that. There are so many outlandish things that we hear people say about God, and they actually believe it. Why? Someone has their ear. They are listening to someone. They are listening to something. They get those beliefs from somewhere, and it's not from God, and it's not from the Bible. Here are some examples here, but another passage in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 20 also illustrates this point. Isaiah 5 and verse number 20, a verse that we know very well. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And that this is what happens. Here are some examples about this. And that's something that we hear so much today in our churches, not independent Baptist churches, but even you're starting to hear it, independent Baptist churches. Well, here's one of them. You know what? God just, he really doesn't care about your sin. He doesn't really care about it. It's okay. Because God is love. And they use a Bible verse and they twist it. God is love. That's true. That's a very true verse. God is love. Amen. And he is. And he loves us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sin. Also, he loves us so much that he would not want us to live any longer in the dregs of sin. But no, God loves you the way you are. He doesn't care about your sin. Oh, he just loves you the way you are. Yes, maybe you're shacking up in immorality. Oh, yes, maybe you're into drugs, or maybe you drink alcohol, or you smoke cigarettes, whatever it is. It's okay. God knows and understands, and he accepts you the way you are, and he really doesn't care about those things. Does that really preach in churches? Oh, yes, everywhere. You know what? People believe it. They believe something about God, and then wonder why they call people like us, who actually follow the Bible, legalists. And they call us unloving and uncaring. We care, but we care about that their sin is going to send them to a real place called hell. Because when we look, if we really want to believe that God doesn't care about our sin, then why do we need to get saved in the first place? Why wouldn't God just pardon us and that's it? And that's where it leads us. There's another one here. God doesn't care about your sin. Here then, you know, if you follow this down, well, everybody goes to heaven, right? Everybody goes to heaven. God is just so loving and he's so wonderful that it was not like a loving God to send people to a real hell, is there? It's really, I've had people tell me this, that everybody's just going to heaven. There's really no such place as hell. That's for the devil and his angels. That's not for us, because he loves us so much. But do you hear what's happening there? There's some truth there. He does love us so much, but that does not excuse our sin. His solution, his plan, his Bible plan of salvation is that Jesus took our punishment and we must accept what he did for us, not accept our sin and say it's okay when it's not. Really what they're saying is, I'm not a sinner. God doesn't care that I am a sinner. God doesn't care about my sin. Well, we're all God's children. We all just need to accept that love. I mean, no salvation. God is love, and he wants you to be happy the way you are. Thank you, Joel Osteen. He said that word for word. He loves you the way you are. I heard him say it. I watched television. I was somewhere, and I was, you know, flipping through the channel. I don't even do that anymore. It's just a bunch of junk on there. We were at a hotel, and I was looking, and we stopped there, and it was Joel Osteen. And my wife, I said, shut it off. My wife said, I want to see this guy. You know what? I literally can't listen to a guy for longer than 5 minutes without getting angry. And he said this, word for word. God is love, and he wants you to be happy the way you are. To ruckus and raucous applause. I mean, people are like, yes. Now you wonder why he has thousands of people in his church, because there's no accountability. They're not accountable to God. God is your personal genie. We go on and on and on. All because we listen to the devil speak through people's mouths these false truths, false teachers. And the devil, you know who's speaking through a false teacher? We think, well, they're just a misguided person. No, the devil's using them. They're speaking for the devil, whether they realize it or not. They're on the devil's side, whether they realize it or not. There are many authors that espouse these beliefs, and the reason that they do is that they're trying to justify their sin 9 times out of 10. And that they do this, and they allow things to be acceptable, and you find these things, well, we don't judge homosexuals, we don't do things like that, and it comes out the pastor's involved in it himself. Or it comes out, well, we don't believe, we believe that drinking alcohol is okay. Why? Because the pastor's been drinking it in the back room for the last 10 years beforehand. That's what happens. It's happening everywhere. And you know what? It was the big church in Greenville, South Carolina, just recently, a big independent, conservative, fundamental Baptist church, came out and said that, well, it is acceptable to drink alcohol socially. It just came out this year. But you know what? Brother Crow was here. He grew up in that area. You know what he told me? He goes, well, that's nothing new. He said all the seniors from that high school for the last 20 years have been going out getting drunk on graduation night. He goes, that's like nothing new. They just made it official. Everybody's been doing that church for 20 years, but they just want to make it official now. Why? Because someone had their ear. The devil had their ear. And you begin to find yourself doing things, going places, involving yourself in things you never thought you would. Why? Because the devil loves to lie. And if you believe him, you'll find yourself in sin because he always wants you to sin. He wants you to be destroyed. The reason for these permissive doctrines that permit rebellion, that permit sin, that permit the opinions of man is that they don't want to be accountable to God. They're just as wicked and misguided as evolutionists or atheists. They don't want to be accountable to God. They want to live the way they want, and it's all about me, and it's all from the pit of hell. Don't be deceived about what God says about himself here. That's why we need to know our Bible, because isn't that where the devil attacked Eve? Yea, hath God said. Did he say that? And you know what? Eve said, yeah, he did say that, but then she added to it. But you know what? You know what was mistake number one was for Eve? She had a conversation with him. Mistake number one. Started a discourse, a debate. I'm not against having a debate with someone. Amen. I'm not 100% against it, but I'm against it. Most circumstances, you know why? I've been there, and you come out in the short end of the stick most of the time. You don't get anywhere. And you know, sometimes all you get yourself confused too, because they have real good arguments. And you begin to wonder, well, am I believing the right thing? That happened to me when I was younger in the ministry, when I knew I didn't believe in Calvinism, but this one guy, man, he was good. And he went round and round and round with me. And you know what? I went home and I sat down. Am I believing the right thing? I said, no. And it begins to question. And you know what? The devil gets in your ear. And I'm like, no, I know I don't believe it. And this is what the Bible says, and this is it. Yeah, make a decision. No, I'm not going to listen. No, I'm not going to have a discourse with this. You know, the next conversation, he said, I want to sit down and have a conversation with you again. I said, no. I said, I have a book I want you to read. You can read the book. That's what I believe right there. Hard to have an argument with a book. You know what he did? He took that book, and I actually had laid it out in the pew there, and I left it there. He had gone around. It was like a little booklet. He went and read it. And everything, I said, I want you to read this book. This is what I believe right here. And he took it and he threw it down the pew. So I read that. That's a bunch of trash. Said, well, we don't have much to discuss then. We don't have anything to discuss. Nothing at all. Is it because that's what I believe, that's what the Bible says, and that's it? Well, you're not being very teachable, Pastor. Not being very teachable. No, because I know I get my learning from God's Word, amen, not from false doctrine. Careful who has your ear, because then we don't want to be labeled unteachable. We don't want to be labeled intolerant. Forbid that, amen? I mean, we're not tolerant of other people's beliefs. No, we're tolerant of what God says. Now, should we be hateful toward other people that believe other things? No. But we should stand for the truth and not let other people get our ear. The last thing you should do is sit down and have a lengthy discussion about other people's false doctrine. They said, well, I want to talk to you about what I believe, then I'll listen to what you believe. I said, hey, I've got a better idea. How about we switch that around? I'll talk to you about what I believe and then see if you still want to talk to me about what you believe. Flip it around, and many times they'll get saved, or they'll not want to talk to you about what they believe, because they're going to find out that you're not susceptible to having your ear turned. So who has your ear about God? Second, who has your ear about God's people? Look at Proverbs chapter 6. We're back in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. Who has your ear about God's people? Now, the first one is something we need to be careful of. The second one here is something we need to be real careful of. Proverbs chapter number 6 and verses 16 through 19. 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. All of these things God hates. You know what all six of these things are? That describes the devil. He does all 60 things and more. This is exactly what he does. So this is his calling card. So if someone's doing this, whose side are they on? They're not on God's side. Well, they're justice God. No, they're on the wrong side. They're on the wrong side. And they need to be treated as such. The devil also loves to make us believe things that aren't true about God's people. The devil loves to bring division among God's people. He loves to whisper in the ears of those who are vulnerable. He wishes to whisper in everyone's ear, but the difference is how we respond to it. Everybody has to deal with having their ears whispered into. Everybody has to deal with that. Everybody has to fight against that, about letting people whisper in their ear. But what do we do when people start whispering? What do we do when, say, Pastor, what do I do when someone comes to me and starts whispering about somebody else in the church, about something they're upset about? Or maybe you go and ask them, hey, you know what? I haven't seen you for a little bit. You seem upset about something. You know, what, is everything okay? And they begin to tell you, well, you know, I have a problem with so-and-so. And you know what? Because we have such a heart of compassion, we sit and we listen to the entire tale. We listen to how that person would just treated them with such disrespect and said such a nasty thing to them, and that they are just so hurt and they're not even sure they want to be a part of this church anymore because they have been just so hurt and devastated, and that no one loves or cares about them. Does that sound familiar? Oh, it's real familiar to me. I hear this all the time. And you know, 9 times out of 10, someone comes to me and says, Pastor so-and-so told me this. Pastor so-and-so came and told me that they're upset at you because of something you preached. So-and-so came and told me about this. He loves to whisper in your ear. But then when people start whispering to you, you know what Eve's number one mistake was? She let him whisper in her ear. When he said that, you know what? God wasn't very far away. You know what she should have done? Hey, God, what's he doing here? He's telling lies about you. Amen? Instead, what do we need to do? When people start to whisper, well, I have a problem with so-and-so. So let me stop you right there. This is what you do. We're okay, ready? This is practical time. You know what you do? You just say, excuse me, you just stop right there. One question. Have you talked to this person about your problem? No. So don't talk to me about it. Talk to them. That's biblical. Matthew 18. I'm going to read it here in a minute. I said, you stop your whispering. I don't want to hear about your problems. That's gossiping. And if you have a problem with someone, you go and get it right. Because you know what's going to happen? Is that person whispering in your ear, you're going to start believing bad things about the other person. Here's the problem. You don't even know if it's true or not. Amen? You don't even know if it's true. 9 times out of 10, it's not. Or it's skewed by a person's feelings. Maybe it was something that legitimately did happen. But this is how we handle it in the world. We go and whisper and backbite and do all of that. And all throughout the epistles, God says, that has no place in my house. Go and be upfront and honest and deal with the problem and don't sit there and whisper about other people in the church. Get away from it. Romans 16 verse 17 tells us very clearly, but you know what is going to happen when someone is doing that? Whether they realize it or not, they are causing a division in the church. And 9 times out of 10, they're telling a lie and not the truth. They're working discord. They're on the devil's side because they got their feelings hurt somehow. Or because they're upset about that their sin isn't tolerated in the church. Or they're upset about any number of things. And the devil begins to get a hold of their ear. And that's one of the things the devil loves to do. You know what he loves to do? He loves to get someone's ear. And then he uses that person to get another person's ear. And get another one. And you got a whole chain going on. What happened with Adam and Eve? The devil got Eve's ear. Then Eve got Adam's ear. And now here we are today. Let me ask you something. Did it end well? Did it end well? I'm telling you here and now, it never ends well. It never ends well. Right here, Romans chapter number 16, verse 17 tells us this. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. So what does that say? Well, we just need to bring this person into the fold, Pastor. We just need to bring this person in, and we need to get them right, and we need to get them. I agree, but they need to take the first step and get things right with whoever they're mad at. Matthew 18 gives us a very clear, and this is right in our Constitution, right in our doctrinal statement, this is how you deal with problems. And this is a teaching moment. So I don't have a problem with anyone right now, but if you do in the future, because inevitably we're all sinners, things happen. Amen. All things happen, and there's going to be a problem. Matthew 18, let's look here. Matthew 18, and verses 15 through 17. Verses 15 through 17. Right here is conflict resolution. If there's a problem with someone, with a brother and sister in Christ in the church, Matthew 18, verse 15 tells us this. Moreover, thy brother shall trespass against thee. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Well, why is that? Because he might not even know he did something to you. You know, if that's the question you ask somebody, well, do they know they did something against you? Oh, they know, they know. 10 times out of 10, they don't, okay? Or 9 times out of 10. 9.5 out of 10, they have no idea. They said something, you know, because our personalities are different. You know, things like that. You know what? I've said things that catch people sideways because I'm a Yankee. I'm just kind of blunt. I can be kind of short about things. I don't mean to be, but that's just kind of how I am. And I try and change that. You know, when people tell me those things, I try and change it. But I'm not saying, hey, well, that's just the way I am. Like it or lump it. I mean, I try and change that. Amen. If you have a character flaw or a flaw in your personality, try and fix it. Amen. Don't say, well, just suck it up and that's it. Amen. We don't do that. We just say, hey, this is something that I struggle with. I apologize, get it right, and then we move on. But here we go. Go to them in verse 15. Between thee and him alone, if he shall hear thee, and thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, he won't forgive you, he won't even talk to you about it, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word might be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Well, why is that? It seems, Pastor, that the person that is in the right here is the person who got hurt or didn't offend. Here it is. Whoever doesn't want to get right has a heart problem. Who doesn't want to get right? And here's the question. When someone starts whispering to you, so let me stop you right there. I love what my brother-in-law, Pastor Stephen Harvey, used to do. You know what he used to have? He used to have a little notebook in his pocket. And when people, he was assistant pastor, and people come up to him and say, Pastor Harvey, I want to talk to you about something. I want to talk to you about so-and-so. He goes, oh, hold on just a second. Hold on. Here, let me get my pen out. And he get his and everything. He says, okay. Oh, by the way, who was it that you were going to be talking to me about? I want to make sure I get a clear record of it right here. What do you mean, Pastor? What do you mean? Well, I'm just going to write down everything you say, and then after we're done, then we're going to go and talk. I'm going to show this to the person you're talking about and go show it to the pastor so we can all get it all right together. Oh, no, pal, I don't want to. So you don't have anything to say then? Oh, no, sir.
Oh, that's fine. Well, why don't you go talk to whoever you're going to talk to about and get it right with them? Guess what? He had never had a problem with people whispering him ever again. You know what? Because people that whisper, that gets around the church real fast. Hey, don't whisper to that guy. He's going to tell on us. Amen? Well, Pastor, you know, it's not right to bear tails. Not to be a tailbearer. Doesn't the Bible says not to be a tailbearer? Let me ask you something. If you were here in this church Sunday morning and there was a rattlesnake rolling going right down the hallway, would you say, well, I don't want to be a tailbearer? You know, that snake has rights. I don't want to be a tailbearer. Yeah, it has a right to be dead. Amen. So it has rights, you know, and so I don't want to be a tailbearer. People are just going to have to find out for themselves about what's going on with the snake. It's not my job. That's just what you're doing with someone that's trying to cause division in God's house and try and cause division among God's people. If you don't, and you know who you tell, if someone goes and they don't get right, or if they're just nasty, well, I'm going to destroy this person, you need to tell the pastor about it. You don't go and tell everybody else, go tell me about it, and guess what? It's something that sometimes we can deal with and we can try and help people get right. You know what? It's not my job to kick people out of the church. I don't want to do that. It's not my job. I don't want to do that at all. I want to see people get right. Amen? I mean, I don't want to hear, and also at the same time, I don't want to leave things alone to where people are sitting in church with a pickle puss. And they look across the church, well, I loathe that person. You know what? People don't get saved in God's house because of things like that. The spirit's wrong. The spirit's bad. Tell them that they should not be whispering and backbiting. This is the command of God. They should not be whispering. You tell them it's against the command of God. It's a wicked sin, and you need to go get that right now. Don't ever speak to me about it again. So, Pastor, do I need to be that forceful? Yes. Be nice. Be loving. Do it with a smile on your face. But be clear that you don't want to be a part of it anymore. But you know what? Yeah, be careful. Also, visiting in people's houses. You go and visit them. We hadn't seen them in a while, and they begin to run their mouth about something going on in the church. Well, I don't like this. I don't like that. So just stop right there. I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to see if there's anything I can help you with. If there's nothing I can help you with, God can, and you need to go get that right, but I'm not talking about it anymore. You'll find a very quick exit at that person's house, but they'll know where you stand. Well, I just want to help them, Pastor. I don't want to be controversial. You have to take a stand for right or wrong. The devil has their ear. And at that point, the devil wants yours. Be careful. Unfortunately, this is the reality of what happens. Pastor so-and-so tells me that they don't feel like people care about them. They just tell me that. First time I ever heard about it. I mean, that right there is the first indication that something's not right. Amen? Or if they're upset about something that they said, Pastor, you know, can I talk to you about it? No, never do they come talk to the pastor. You know why? Because they know they're wrong many times. Or they feel like something bad's going to happen to them. By the way, if you have a problem and you want to come talk to me, my office is right there. I want people to come talk to me. I don't want people to have problems and leave them unresolved for years and months and weeks to come. Amen? I want the people to get right. If they're upset about something, they got hurt by something, trust me, we want to get it right. Amen? Pastor so-and-so tells me that they've been offended by one of your sermons. One time I had someone, they didn't have a problem telling me they were offended by my sermon right in the hallway. I said, well, I didn't mean to offend, but it's God's truth. I apologize that it offended you, but I'm not sorry for the truth that I preached. Pastor so-and-so tells me they're upset about someone in the church. They're not coming back to church until that person comes and apologizes to them. Well, that's not what the Bible says. It says those that has been offended go to the person who offended them. Amen? You know what you do? Let me stop you right there. When Pastor said so-and-so came and told me this, here I'm submitting to you right now, you shouldn't have been listening to so-and-so. You shouldn't have been listening to so-and-so.
You should have stopped them in their tracks. You know why? Because if I don't handle it right, or someone doesn't handle it right, or something, the devil's got your ear now. Because the devil is real. And that's how church splits happen. That's how all kinds of things happen. So, pastor, is there a problem with that right now in this church? No. That I know of. You know, whispering happens all kinds of places. Now we have this. I don't believe so, but this is good preventative medicine. Amen? You should not be talking to that person. You need to tell them that if they need to go and talk to that person, go talk and get right and repent of their bitterness. The only reason that they have a reason for telling you is because they're bitter about it. It's the only reason. And they need to also get repentant of gossiping. That's gossiping. Tell them not to talk about it again. Are we willing to tell the devil, no, I'm not going to listen to your lies? Are you willing to call it what it is? But why do we listen? But why would we listen? All right, that's where it gets to cut rubber meets the road. Why would we listen? You know, some, well, I have a problem with so-and-so. Oh, wait a minute. The devil says, hey, you have something. Didn't so-and-so do something to you? Remember when he said or she said that? Must have done it to somebody else. That person's a problem. You need to listen. So if there's a problem, you can tell the pastor about it. Oh, you need to listen because, you know, that person could just be causing damage in the church. Don't listen. We would listen because we have ought against that person as well, then the devil will use you to whisper in someone else's ear. You know what happens? The devil gets your ear. There's something really interesting that happens. Your mouth is attached to your ear somehow. And if something happens, and by the way, the connection between your ear and your mouth isn't real good. I don't know if you knew that. But the connection isn't real good because details get left out, things get added, and you know, because you hear something in this ear, the devil's got this one, so he combines all together, comes out your mouth, and so that the devil uses you to whisper in someone else's ear, and then you get a hold of someone's ear, and then that person whispers in someone else's ear. Before you know it, everybody else in the church is listening to the devil without even realizing it. Be careful. Last one. Who has your ear about God's authorities? You know what? The devil will always whisper against God's ordained authority in your life. Always will. Whether it be the police officer, whether it be the pastor, whether it be the Sunday school teacher, whether it be the bus captain, whether it be your parents, your grandparents, your teachers at school, he's always going to whisper in your ear about it. The devil loves to whisper about the pastor. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. You know, why is that? Because the pastor has a very important job in everyone's life, in that the pastor's job is to watch for your soul. Hebrews 13 verse number 17 tells us this. Hebrews 13, 17 tells us this. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. God's ordained authority. The shepherd of the flock must watch carefully. The devil always lies about those that love you the most. Did you know that? Your parents love you so much. Your pastor does. And the devil will love to lie to you about them both. Always remember that the devil is trying to get you to believe something against your God-ordained authorities, and it's always false. May have a little kernel of truth in it, but it's always false. Blown out of proportion. Context is different. Why? Because the devil is a father of lies. Don't give in to it. And some have tried to work discord into churches all over and said, well, this or that. Well, I don't like this or that. And this isn't what I like. Blah, 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 on and on. Don't listen to it. The devil also loves to whisper about your parents. Oh, he loves to whisper about your parents. Let me ask you a question, parents. Do you know who has your children's ear? Do
Do you know? Can you say, well, I know so-and-so listens to God and to me. I know so-and-so listens to God and to me. I know so-and-so. I mean, you would hope so, amen. We'd all hope so. But let me ask you a question, another question that maybe be a little bit more pertinent to the point. Who has your child dear? And you know, we all might say, well, I do. I know I do. Do you know if anyone is whispering in their ear? Well, about what? Oh, about you. About God. About all kinds of things. Do you know who their friends are? Ooh. And here's this. Do you know what they talk with their friends about? What do you mean? Well, you know that almost every single time that my son is with his friends at church, I ask him on the way home, so, Caleb, what did you talk about with so-and-so? And most of the time it's good, but it's been a couple of times that he says, oh, we weren't talking about nothing. It's a code word for something he doesn't want to tell you. Well, we were talking about this, we were talking about this, and nothing. And then I said, well, something there because you're not telling me anything about that conversation. And lo and behold, something comes out that he was talking to so-and-so about that he shouldn't have been. Why? Because I asked a couple basic questions. And you know, you should be careful who has your child's ear, even as young as my son Caleb. So I found out through a series of time, not so long ago, about a year ago, that he was learning things. He was going through doing a lot of disobedience, a lot of different things. I found out someone was talking in his ear about, well, this is what my parents let me do. My parents let me do, amen. And so, who has their ear? Children are very impressionable. And they listen to their friends most of the time, more than they listen to you, unfortunately. That is just human nature. Unless you train them to listen to you and not their friends. So you're not going to talk to that person anymore. Because what they're talking about is wicked and wrong. Pastor, I'm going to make them bitter and hate me. No, you won't. They're going to thank you one day. I thank my parents for doing that for me, for several of my friends. Let me ask you something. Do you know what they talk about? Do you know who they talk to? And I'm going to be real honest. The answer 9 times out of 10 when I ask parents this, you know what they tell me? No, I have no idea. Well, get an idea. Get an idea. Here's why. The devil probably, if you don't know that answer, the devil already has their ear already. The devil already has it. The devil's already talking to it. Well, let me ask you a question. Why don't you know? Well, your kid, my kids, my child has privacy. No such thing. They need to be monitored. Phones, internet, you name it. You are foolish if you have unfiltered internet in your house. You are foolish if you have unfiltered phones for your children. You are foolish. The world is wicked and evil. The devil can still enter even if you have all of that. If you're not careful, the devil can still get in. Do you know that? It's harder for him to, but he can still get in. Let me ask you something, parents. Well, you know, if you let your child, I'm just going to tell you this, I'm going to be real clear about it, that if you let your child hang out through sports, through going to other churches' youth activities, going and hanging out just playing a game of soccer or football in the backyard, and they're hanging out with kids that are worldly, kids that are rebellious, kids that don't care one thing about what their parents think, don't be shocked when your kids start acting the same way. And you're not doing your job as a parent if you let them hang out with them. Here's why. They're going to get the ear of your children. Well, my parents let me do that. What's wrong with your parents?
Oh, well, you know, my parents don't believe in that. Oh, yeah, you have one of those sets of parents. Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. Well, my parents used to believe that, but they don't anymore, so it don't matter. Huh. That's just a bunch of junk, you know. And you know what? And sometimes they'll defend you, but you'd be surprised how many times they don't. And then the wheels begin turning. Well, what do you mean? And then they're enticed, and then boop! Right there. Then they begin talking to him. They begin talking to him on Facebook. They begin talking to him over text messaging. And they begin whispering in the corner. By the way, whenever I see young people in a dark corner in the hallway over there whispering, it's never about anything good. You know what? I love just walking up to young people when they do that. Hey, what you talking about? Remember in the Christian school? I mean, they just like to get a little huddle. Boom. Brother Hams, where'd you always find me? Right in the huddle. Hey, guys, what you talking about? Stuff. Oh, what kind of stuff? They didn't want to lie to me. One time they did, but anyway. We'll buy this and this. And lo and behold, it was always about something that was in the rule book they weren't supposed to be talking. Every single time. Amazing how that works. I'm thankful for it. That the Lord has given me rebel radar. I can see, I can detect it. I'm thankful for it. You know why? I used to be one. Oh, I looked good. I wore the suit. I mean, you couldn't detect. I mean, I was as quiet as Isaiah and Micah are right now. I was just looked as good. I mean, I served in the church and everything, but I hated it to my core. And I just couldn't wait to get out from underneath it. I'm not saying you guys are, okay? Don't start looking at me like, Pastor, thanks. No, I'm not thinking that. But I never know. No. But no, it's good to scare him a little bit. No, but I was just like that. But then it came a day, mainly it's because I wasn't saved, but then there came a day when I had to make a decision, and the devil always had my ear, that I said, no, I'm not going to listen to that anymore. And you know what? I always think all kinds of things. You know, when I was in college, all kinds of things. That if people are speaking against authority, doesn't matter if the authority is right or wrong. If they're speaking against authority, if authority does something incorrect, there's a proper way to handle it. Talk to them about it. Talk to them. What's the worst thing that can happen? But if someone's speaking against authority, if someone is speaking against the Bible, that's our authority, isn't it? Amen. It's God-given authority, God's word. If they're speaking against God, they're speaking against the doctrines and the beliefs of the Bible. They're speaking against your parents. They're speaking against your pastor. They're speaking against your grandparents. They're speaking against your teacher at school. They're speaking against all these things. You know what you do? Hey, I've got to go do something. I'll talk to you another time. Or actually, you know what? I don't think you need my friend anymore, because all you talk about is negative things, talking about evil things, talking about things that don't encourage me spiritually. I'm sorry, unless you stop talking about those things, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. You know what? It takes some guts to do that. It takes some belief in what's right and wrong to do that. It takes some courage to say, hey, I'm not going to listen to your gossip. I'm not going to listen to anything that you have to say because it's not right. I'm not going to listen to that. It really comes down to a matter of your heart. The devil only whispers into your ear what he knows you will believe. Did you know that? The devil's real good. He watches you. You learn that in the book of Job. And he watches, and he watches, and he watches, and he watched Job. He couldn't get to Job because God put a hedge of protection around him, but he watches you. And you know what? He only feeds you what he knows you will believe. Subtle. And if your heart is not right, then you'll listen to lies. If you have a little bit of a creeping doubt in your heart that God isn't just for whatever reason, you read something in the Bible and you didn't agree with it, you thought God was wrong, the devil's going to start speaking to you. Oh, yeah, you know what else he's wrong about? Oh, you know what? That will of God for your life, that's really not the best thing for you. You know that?
you know, going and serving God really isn't all what it's cracked up to be. You're just going to have a hard time. It's going to have no fun, and it's just, you're not going to do well in it. It's just not worth it. You know, just reconsider, you know, just think about it. That's the voice of the devil right there. If your heart's not right with your pastor, then you listen to lies about him. If your heart's not right with your parents, then you listen to lies about him. If your heart's not right with God, then you'll listen to lies about him. Will you give God your heart and be loyal to him? Let's look back at Proverbs 23, and I'm done tonight. Proverbs 23, now down to the end of the passage that we looked at, says this. Verse 19, it tells us this. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Whose way? It's God's way. But then in verse number 26, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. And what you're doing is, I'm giving my heart to God. I'm closing my ears to everything else. I'm not letting the devil have my ear. God has my ear. God has my heart. God has my direction. God has your loyalty. Another way we could put, who has your ear? Who are you loyal to? Who are you loyal to? Are you loyal to your parents? Remember one time, that one person, individual, this is even before I was saved, began telling me things about my parents. Well, your parents are this, or your dad is that. My dad was a Christian school principal, and he thought that my dad wasn't very fair. Now, I'm not saying do this, and I said, you take it back or I'll punch you right in the mouth. And I'd have done it too. I didn't do it. He took it back. But guess what? It got around that none of those people ever talked to me about my parents ever again. Because they didn't get the reaction they wanted. Now, I'm not saying go around and punch people in the mouth, okay? I'm not saying that. But I was a teenager. I was 14 years old, and I thought that was the way to handle things. It's not. All right? Everybody hear me, young people? You hear me? That's not how you handle it, okay? It's not how you handle it. But will you give God your heart and be loyal to him? Will you be loyal to your parents? Will you be loyal to God's people? Will you be loyal to your God-ordained authorities? Be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you listen to. If they're spreading lies, and get away from them. You know why? Let's look back once again. And back here in Proverbs chapter number 6. Wait a minute, Proverbs 8. Proverbs 6. Yeah, Proverbs 6, verses 16 and 17 and 18. Proverbs chapter 6. You want to know what the hallmarks of the devil are? And people that serve him? Right here. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. You know how they do that? People that have the proud look, they have a lying tongue, they shed innocent blood because they tell them a lie. And they tell them, hey, you're going to be okay. You'll be fine. Go and steal this for me. You won't get caught. Right? Hey, go and do this sin. It's okay. You won't get caught in it. That's what the devil says. Oh, you do. Sheds innocent blood. They were innocent, now they're not anymore. So sad. Verse 18, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. You know what that means, young people? If you find anybody of a friend or anybody, you listen, young people, if you find someone that has these hallmarks, get away from them. Don't be looking, hey, and more, 9 times out of 10, they're the cool person. You know why they're cool? Because the devil wants them to appear that way. It'll only bring you misery and strife and bring destruction in your life. Adults, don't look at those people and say, well, you know, maybe, you know, and many times after standing for so long, we said, well, you know, maybe we've been standing too hard and too strong and too close to the, you know, maybe we need to be a little bit more bending. This is the time we don't need to be bending. When the pressure is so strong to bend, this is not when you bend. Amen? This is not the time to give it all up. This is the time to stand for the truth and to fight for the truth and not to listen to lies that are all around us. It's time to stand for the truth, right here and right now. Question. So we have a test here. Who has your ear? Or ears? Who has it? Does God?
Does the Holy Spirit? Or does the devil have it speaking his lies? If he has your ear, you need to get down to the altar tonight and let God have your ears, your heart, your mind, your mouth, your eyes, all of you. My son, give me thine heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. I pray that you'll bless our time and invitation. Dear Lord, I pray that this message be an encouragement and a warning. Dear Lord, we're so thankful for your word, how instructive it is, how practical it is to warn us of these terrible things that happen. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd guide and direct and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.